VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. It's a news roundup day here on the broadcast, and we've got a number of stories that Sandy's been gathering and getting ready for broadcast here today on the program. And let me just mention some breaking news came out just a short time ago, late morning today from Liberty Counsel, and that is a three-judge panel of the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals struck down laws that ban counselors from providing minor clients with help to reduce or eliminate unwanted same-sex attractions, behaviors, or gender confusion. Well, friends, this is really big because there is a lot of banning going on by local city councils on so-called, they call it, conversion therapy. Well, this is the first federal court of appeals decision on such laws since the 2018 U.S. Supreme Court decision came down, National Institute of Family and Life Advocates versus Becerra, the case of Otto et al. Versus City of Boca Raton, Florida et al. Found that the laws were both content and viewpoint-based and violate the First Amendment right to free speech. Liberty Counsel is representing Dr. Robert Otto and also a Dr. Julie Hamilton and their minor clients who challenged the constitutionality of ordinances enacted by the City of Boca Raton and Palm Beach County, which prohibit minors from voluntary counseling from licensed professionals. Those licensed therapists provide life-saving counseling to minors who desperately desire to conform their attractions, behaviors, and gender identities to their sincerely held religious beliefs. Well, the opinion was 2-1. Judge Grant wrote, quote, "We hold that the challenge ordinance violates the First Amendment because they are content-based regulations of speech that cannot survive strict scrutiny." You see, under the laws, folks, that were struck down, a counselor could encourage a client to take life-altering hormone drugs, even undergo invasive surgery to remove healthy body parts. You can do that. You can affirm it, but you could not help a client who seeks to overcome those unwanted same-sex attractions, behavior, or confusion. And today, the first federal court of appeals struck down the so-called conversion therapy there in, I believe that was Boca Raton. So very interesting to see where this is going to go as well. Well, lots of things taking place to the election. And Lord willing, Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel will rejoin us this Monday with some of the latest updates as well. But from Soren Kern at the Gatestone Institute, a statement from Sidney Powell, former federal prosecutor and member of President Trump's legal team, said, quote, "We're fixing to overturn the results of the elections in multiple states. President Trump won by not hundreds of thousands of votes, but by millions of votes that were shifted by this software that was designed expressly for that purpose. We have sworn witness testimony of what the software was designed. It was designed to rig elections." Rudy Giuliani, also who is President Trump's personal attorney, said the software that they use is done by a company called Smartmatic. It's a company that was founded by Hugo Chavez and by his two allies who still own it. It's been used to cheat in elections in South America. It was banned by the United States about a decade ago. It's come back now as a subcontractor to other companies to sort of hide in the weeds, Giuliani said. And then also Jenna Ellis, who is a campaign lawyer for President Donald Trump, said, "What we're seeing is that possibly up to 2.7 million votes were simply deleted that were for President Trump. How their voting system was able to have users that would log in and see the votes as they were coming in. If it was a Trump vote, they could manually change it to a Biden vote. They could duplicate the vote if it was a Biden vote and have a person cast not one but six votes for Biden. All of the technology, we really need a forensic audit." Powell also stated that Democratic senators and Congress people for years have reported problems with this system to the FBI and to the government, and no one has done anything about it. The people in the election security part of the Department of Homeland Security need to be fired yesterday, she said. This is absolutely ridiculous. Of course, Chris Wray needs to be fired, too, because the only FBI interview with any witness was to intimidate him and to try to get him to change his truthful testimony for hours by an anti-Trump FBI agent. They still have politics infecting the FBI instead of just following the law. Powell also added that every state that bought Dominion should for sure have a criminal investigation or at least a serious investigation of the officers in the states who bought the software. We've got evidence of kickback, she said. We're collecting evidence now from various whistleblowers that are aware of substantial sums of money being given to family members of state officials who bought the software. We're talking about $100 million packages for new voting machines suddenly in multiple states, and benefits ranging from financial benefits for family members to what I would call election insurance, because they know that they could win an election if they are using the software. The chairman of Smartmatic is in a close business associate of George Soros. Whistleblower Melissa Caron, an IT contractor for Dominion Software, described the massive fraud she witnessed on Election Day in Detroit in a sworn affidavit dated November 8th. She stated, quote, "At approximately midnight, I was called over to assist one of the counters with a paper jam and noticed that his PC had a number of over 400 ballots scanned, which means one batch was counted over 8 times. This happened countless times while I was at the TCF counter." On and on it goes. Rudy Giuliani held this press conference yesterday talking about this along with others. And friends, the story is not yet been fully told. They've got this information, and they just said be patient. It takes time to develop the lawsuit, getting everything in place. Here's a statement from Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt saying a new website run by an attorney is receiving and publishing all publicly available courtroom evidence that election fraud occurred in the president's election. They are saying there's a number of verified examples nationwide. The FBI has opened an investigation, they report, with a whistleblower for Smartmatic using Dominion voting machines who admits he saw how they were coded with intent to add or delete votes here as they previously did in Venezuela. Nationwide also, 500 sworn affidavits, 11,000 reports of irregularities. Pennsylvania, 66% of dead registered voters born between 1800 and 1899 voted. Pennsylvania, 18,000 mail-in ballots didn't have a mailed date, only a return date after November 3rd. Michigan, 6,000 votes credited to Biden instead of Trump. Pennsylvania, computer scientist proves voting machines systems can be hacked to steal votes. Electronic voting systems rely on abandoned operating systems in Pennsylvania counties. Nationwide, they said ESNS misrepresented their machines as EAC certified to U.S. officials, and on it goes. Lynn Wood had a bombshell. Attorney that's assisting the campaign claims that President Trump won the election in 70% plus landslide. The election was a fraud. Donald Trump won, I believe, clearly a 70% plus landslide election in the nation, Wood said in an interview on Mark Levine's show Tuesday. Probably won over 400 electoral votes. Wood said that the Trump legal team is uncovering step by step the layers on the onion, and we're going to get to the truth. And the truth is, he said, Donald Trump has been reelected by this country to serve for 4 more years. Let's see, from WND.com, a corrupt cash for vote scheme hiding in plain sight in Nevada amid sworn allegations of vote fraud in favor of Joe Biden, according to John Daniel Davidson, political editor for The Federalist. Under the guise of supposedly nonprofit, nonpartisan get-out-the-vote campaigns, Native American voter advocacy groups in Nevada handed out gift cards, electronics, clothing, and other items to voters in tribal areas, in many cases documenting the exchange of ballots for prizes on their own Facebook pages, sometimes even while wearing official Joe Biden campaign gear, he writes. Simply put, this is illegal. Offering voters anything of value in exchange for their vote is a violation of federal election law, and in some cases punishable by up to 2 years in prison, as much as $10,000 in fines. That includes raffles, free food, free T-shirts, and so on, he said. Let's go to Pamela Geller as she reports that a trio of Arizona Republican congressmen, we're talking about Congressman Andy Biggs, Paul Gosar, and David Schweikert, have called for a 100% audit of all ballots in Maricopa County due to what the lawmakers describe as issues raised regarding the integrity of the Grand Canyon State's election systems. They sent a letter last week to the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors to request the would-be audit's results to be compared to the current vote totals. Americans and Arizonans must have full confidence in our election process and the systems in order to maintain the bedrock of our constitutional republic, Big said in a statement this past Monday. Looking at the Epoch Times, Arizona Governor Doug Ducey announced the state's election isn't over until all court cases have been settled, as the Trump campaign and state GOP filed lawsuits in Maricopa County in a bid to block officials from certifying the election results due to alleged voter irregularities and improprieties. The governor said there are legal claims that are being challenged in court, and everybody in the ballot has certain access rights and remedies, and if they want to push that, they are able. Only those are adjudicated and process plays out. I will accept the results of the election. It's only after the election results that all lawsuits are settled, he said. Epic Times also telling us that two men arrested and charged Southern California on voter fraud charges after they allegedly submitted thousands of fraudulent voter registration applicants on behalf of homeless people, said the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office on Tuesday. We got Carlos Montenegro and Marcos Arevalo were charged with one count each of conspiracy to commit voter fraud, 8 counts of voter fraud, 4 counts of procuring and offering a false or forged instrument, and other charges, said the DA's office in the news release. The office said Montenegro allegedly submitted more than 8,000 fraudulent voter registration applications between July and October. He's also accused of falsifying names, signatures, and addresses and nomination papers under penalty of perjury to run for mayor in the city of Hawthorne. By the way, Canada's worried about what's going on in the U.S., and their Elections Canada tweeted out on Monday of this week, WND.com has a story that Elections Canada does not use Dominion voting systems. We use paper ballots counted by hand in front of scrutineers and have never used voting machines or electronic tabulators to count votes in our 100-year history. Maybe the U.S. could learn something from Canada in all of this. We learned that it could be the House of Representatives ultimately to choose who becomes president under the 12th Amendment. I'm not going to go into that so much here today. Lord willing, again, Matt Staver from Liberty Council will be with us on Monday to describe that process even more fully. Okay, we're going to also take a look here, and this is from Fox Business. A petition circulating in the Harvard University student body seeks to ban Trump administration officials from teaching, speaking, or attending the institution because of their association with the president. The petition represented the latest attempt to punish Trump associates. Harvard, like other colleges, has been accused of censoring conservative viewpoints. Very interesting what's taking place there. And folks, also, you've heard through programming, you've heard Alex Newman. We did an interview on the Great Reset. Well, as of LifeSiteNews.com points out, Trudeau from Canada and Joe Biden are both pushing for the Great Reset. Both are pushing to use the coronavirus lockdowns as an excuse to launch a new world order. Trudeau issued a statement less than an hour after the media called the election, sending his congratulations to the next president and vice president of the United States of America. Trudeau, like Biden, is a socialist. They both promote abortion on demand, and they trounce the Christian faith with homosexual advocacy. They both are ever ready to crush religious freedom with lockdowns, banning church services, while abortion clinics and pot shops remain open for business. And both are pushing for the Great Reset. We'll have some more comments on that after the break. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many stars are there?
Chris, this is the question for which there is no answer. We go out on a clear night and look up, and we only see about 3,000 or so stars with the naked eye, but with telescopes or binoculars, we can see many more. Scientists estimate that our Milky Way galaxy contains over 200 billion stars, and now we can see billions and billions of galaxies, and we haven't even seen the edge of the universe. With every new telescope, we're seeing whole new regions of space full of galaxies. Chris, God told Abraham that the stars in the sky were in essence innumerable, and how right he was. As always, the scientific information that we gather supports the clear teaching of the Word of God, even those truths that are found when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
We'll be right back.
It's the News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY American Network. Thank you for joining us. We're talking about the Great Reset and how this is going to be used to propel us to this new world order. Well, I just shared a story here from LifeSiteNews.com. I'm heading over now to TheNewAmerican.com. Appearing in a United Nations video conference, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau linked the world's response to the coronavirus pandemic to a reset of global systems that ultimately would lead to a world completely in line with the United Nations Agenda 2030. The Prime Minister then echoed official United Nations talking points on Agenda 2030, saying, quote, building back better means getting support to the most vulnerable while maintaining our momentum on reaching the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the SDGs as Sustainable Development Goals. According to Trudeau, COVID-19 has brutally shown us the results of economic stratification and that only governments, led by the UN, of course, can solve such problems for us. Trudeau then touted UN working groups, which came up with hundreds of ideas on just how the coronavirus could be used in order to address an issue that has been with us since the foundation of society itself, namely that some people are tremendously wealthy while others are extremely poor, and the most promising ideas will be taken up within existing IMF and World Bank processes, as well as the G7 and G20 leader summits later in the fall. Remember how President Trump stood up for his sovereignty here in those summits? Do you expect the same would happen if Joe Biden does become president of the United States? New American also reporting that Klaus Schwab, the founder of the Globalist World Economic Forum and one of the principal architects of the so-called Great Reset, is saying that the world will never again return to normal as a result of the COVID-19 virus. Despite admitting that the virus is not an existential threat, Schwab believes that the world's reaction to it will create the long-awaited New World Order. In his book, COVID-19, The Great Reset, Schwab explains that many of us are pondering when things will return to normal. The short response is never. Schwab also speaks of a coming fourth industrial revolution where most human jobs will be accomplished by robotics. For Schwab, a choice exists between going back to the capitalist status quo, which has served us quite well since the end of World War II, and a new system of capitalism like with Marxist elements thrown into it. Corporations should no longer exist solely in order to create goods and gain profit, but to assist in curing society's ills, almost as if the companies themselves are a part of the government. In Schwab's New World, such things as rolling lockdowns, crowd restrictions, and mask mandates will become a permanent part of not only America, but the entire world. This change, Schwab believes, is coming whether we like it or not. This is the founder, ladies and gentlemen, of the World Economic Forum, claiming that the world will never return to normal. Never. And again, this is one of the architects of the so-called Great Reset. Let's go to Jihad Watch. Defense One reported Thursday that Jim Jeffrey, President Trump's former special envoy for Syria, who got that job despite the fact that in 2016 he was a signer of the now infamous Never Trump letter, has boasted that he circumvented Trump's orders to withdraw American troops from Syria by lying to the president. Jeffrey, according to Defense One, acknowledges that his team routinely misled senior leaders about troop levels in Syria and explained, we were always playing shell games to not make clear to our leadership how many troops we had there. The actual number of troops in northeast Syria is a lot more than the roughly 200 troops that President Trump initially agreed to leave there in 2019. Jeffrey decided to thwart the will of the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Armed Forces because, he said, the order to withdraw from Syria was the most controversial thing in my 50 years in government. Maybe it's been 50 years too many here to lie to the commander-in-chief regarding troop status and troop levels. LifeSiteNews.com, Bill Gates' falsehood said, I've never been involved in any sort of microchip-type thing. Oh, yeah? Contrary to his June statement, Bill Gates personally ordered a contraceptive microchip program in 2012 led by a company called Microchips Biotech. The grants for the project, readily accessible on the Gates Foundation website. Gates' contraception project comes after following a meeting between Gates and MIT professor Robert Langer, co-founder of Microchips and an inventor on all of the company's patents. Langer is a frequent Gates collaborator who also oversaw a controversial quantum dot vaccine record project, another direct request from Gates himself. The contraception microchips that deliver a medication, the morning after pill drug, to users for up to 16 years and can be wirelessly controlled by doctors. Besides starting Microchips, Robert Langer also co-founded Moderna, a major COVID vaccine maker. Interesting indeed. Okay, let's go to WND.com. Senator Dianne Feinstein has asked Lindsey Graham, Senator Graham, in a letter to stop holding confirmation hearings for judicial nominees, insisting that the Biden-Harris administration should be given the opportunity to appoint judges after Inauguration Day. Graham, who's chairman of the committee, replied that the panel will continue to process judges nominated by President Trump. We've confirmed over 220 and look forward to confirming even more, he said. By the way, the first presidential term is not over until Inauguration Day. Let's go on here to FoxNews.com. Georgia U.S. Senate Republican candidate, he's not a Republican, Raphael Warnock, who has faced intense scrutiny over the content of his past sermons in recent days, warned in a years-old address that America could not serve God and the military. Warnock called on churchgoers and America as a whole to turn away from the pursuit of power and wealth in the favor of a life of service, saying that, no, you cannot serve both God and the military. Also, the same candidate, Warnock, and here's WND.com, facing fresh criticism over this sermon, and also said America needs to repent for its worship of whiteness. Senior pastor, Ebenezer Baptist Church of Atlanta, he made the remarks October 2016 at Emory University. The Democrat Warnock is facing incumbent Republican Senator Kelly Loeffler in a January 5th runoff election. In the 19-person general election in November, Warnock received 32.9% of the vote. Loeffler had 25.9%. Georgia law mandates that a candidate must receive at least 50% of the vote. So the runoff election, there was a whole ton of candidates there. This election, along with another runoff, we've got, John Ostoff, the Democrat, GOP incumbent David Perdue, ultimately decide whether Democrats or Republicans will control the U.S. Senate beginning in the year 2021. Western Journal reporting that Democratic members of the House of Representatives being told do not join a potential Biden administration as part of a strategy to the fragile Democratic Party in the House, according to a new report. The message to stay put being delivered by Nancy Pelosi and also Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, according to the New York Post. Democratic Representative Emanuel Cleaver, Missouri, said a Biden White House recruiting House Democrats is not going to happen. That's the political reality most people are going to see to that. They're afraid that they would have enough recruits that could change the makeup of the House of Representatives. Cleaver said we don't have a lot of seats in the House and the Senate to spare. Source said Democrats believe the majority is razor thin. Still, we're waiting on some of the House seats to be called. Also, Western Journal reporting that Nancy Pelosi has reaffirmed a pledge to seek only one more term as leader of the legislative body. In a Wednesday news conference, she told Capitol Hill reporters that she would abide by those limits that she placed on herself after many in her caucus urged her to do so in 2018. Western Journal also reporting that Joe Biden has named outspoken reparations advocate, University of California law professor Mirza Baradaran to his transition team to help formulate Treasury Department policies. Baradaran is a 2017 author of the book The Color of Money, Black Banks and the Racial Wealth Gap, that argued during a PBS special in July that the U.S. must pay reparations to African Americans to compensate for the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow laws. And now put in a position on the transition team to formulate the policies for the United States Treasury. Western Journal also reporting federal filings show that a cancer charity started by former Vice President Joe Biden spent no money on research but a whole lot on salaries. In 2017, Biden announced that as a supposed tribute to his son, Beau, who died of brain cancer in 2015 that the Biden Cancer Initiative would develop and drive implementation of solutions to accelerate progress in cancer prevention, detection, diagnosis, research, and care to reduce disparities in cancer outcomes. Well, the New York Post reported the IRS filing showed the group took in $4.8 million in contributions in 2017 and 18, and spent over $3 million of that on its staff during that time. The filing showed no money was shared through grants, the Post reported. CNSNews.com, the coronavirus pandemic has produced a new adverse health impact that dentists have now dubbed mask mouth. Mask mouth is the result of wearing a coronavirus mask, produces an unpleasant odor, promotes tooth decay, said the Raleigh, North Carolina dentist Justin Russo. He said, what's more, the stress of dealing with the mask and coronavirus can prompt people to grind and clench their teeth. Some dentists are experiencing a 25% rise of bite-related cases, and some say they believe the pandemic could be at blame. Western Journal reporting on Tuesday, the Pennsylvania Health Department released a new list of orders with the hope of controlling the spread of COVID-19. The most notable of these is an indoor mask mandate for people inside their own homes. Strengthening masking orders. Masks are still required indoors. Masks now required anytime you're with people outside of your household, even if you're socially distant, said the Twitter from the Pennsylvania Health Department. Applies to all indoor facilities, and if you have people in your home, not part of your household. In addition to this demand, the Department of Health is also requiring anyone who visits Pennsylvania from another state to get tested within 72 hours before entering the state. Also, let's go over to Minnesota. Western Journal reporting Minnesota's Democratic governor issued what is perhaps the most draconian coronavirus lockdown order. Governor Tim Walz announced Wednesday a four-week ban on social gatherings that, if being interpreted correctly, ordered his state's residents to refrain from entertaining guests inside of their own homes. It's a 23-page executive order issued a week before Thanksgiving. The governor told the Minnesotans that they are essentially prohibited from interacting with one another in any form not exempted by the state. Even worse, using the threat of 90 days in prison. Told the state's residents they're not to mingle with people who do not live in their home, even in outdoor settings. On page 5, he declared social gatherings to be prohibited. And when asked about that, he said social gatherings are groups of people who are not members of the same household, congregated together for a common or coordinated social, community, or leisure purpose, even if social distancing can be maintained. Additionally, the lockdown mandate bans gatherings such as weddings, birthdays, and post-church meals. A Cambridge virologist, WND.com, spoke in a public forum against the extension of a mask mandate in one of Canada's largest cities, calling comprehensive lockdowns, masks, and other mitigation efforts against COVID utterly unfounded public hysteria driven by the media and politicians, saying it's outrageous, it's the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on an unsuspecting population, said Dr. Roger Hodgkinson, the CEO of Western Medical Assessments. He said all that should be done from a public policy standpoint is to protect the vulnerable, giving everyone in nursing homes 3,000 to 5,000 international units of vitamin D every day, and pointed to statistics by the province of Alberta indicating that the risk of death for people under 65 is 1 in 300,000. He said, you got to get a grip on it. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For 2,000 years, Christians have courageously faced beatings, stonings, torture, burnings, and every form of evil for boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. The book, Fox's Voice of the Martyrs, AD 33 to today, tells their story. This all-new edition includes the stories of more than 100 Christian martyrs not included in John Fox's original work. It includes heroes from the early church to the Reformation to the 21st century. Read about Nate Saint, Watchman Nee, and dozens of stories of 67 others who have stood faithfully to the death. Their courage in the face of Islamic groups, brutal dictatorships, and government crackdowns will inspire you to be a bold witness. This hardcover, soul-stirring book, available from VCY for your donation of $20 or more. Call 1-800-729-9829.
It's a news roundup day here in Crosstalk, and I've got some more I really want to share with you today. And Lord willing, have opportunity a little bit later in the broadcast to take some of your calls, some of your reactions to these issues. Western Journal reporting that Democratic Governor, California Governor Gavin Newsom, now saying he made a mistake by attending a November 6th birthday party in Napa that appears to have violated his state COVID-19 rules. As reported by the San Francisco Chronicle, Newsom and his wife, Jennifer Sybil Newsom, went to a restaurant for a 50th birthday party for Jason Kenney, one of the governor's political advisors. With at least a dozen people from several different households, the type of gathering his administration has discouraged during the coronavirus pandemic. Gatherings that include more than three households are prohibited, the state's rules stipulate. The rules do not say there is an exception for gatherings at restaurants, nor does it say there's an exception for gatherings called by the governor that the governor is attending. Well, after the story became public, Newsom decided that he had made a mistake. Let's see. We're also picking up a story here today that came from some of the Thomas More Society, indicating that an interesting recent development in California showcases how churches are indeed being unconstitutionally discriminated against. In many counties, including San Diego, churches are closed for indoor services, while strip clubs are allowed to remain open indoors. In other words, California courts have currently extended greater constitutional protection for strip clubs than they have for churches. CNSNews.com reporting Michigan House Republicans Wednesday introduced a resolution calling for the impeachment of Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. House Resolution 324, introduced Wednesday by State Representative Beau LaFave, calls for the adoption of four articles of impeachment against the governor, citing corrupt conduct and violating her oath of office. According to the resolution, the four articles of impeachment against Governor Whitmer include failing to respect the separation of powers by exercising power granted to the legislative branch, violating the constitutional rights of the people of Michigan, issuing executive orders against the interests of the people and state, and using state resources to reward political allies. The Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association is suing the Whitmer administration for prohibiting indoor restaurant dining for the second time this year. Western Journal reporting Colorado has signed on to the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact by bypassing Proposition 113 on Election Day. The compact calls for states to give their electoral votes to the winner of the nationwide popular vote, making the Electoral College less meaningful, the Washington Examiner reported. The compact has been signed on to by 15 states and the District of Columbia. The National Popular Vote Compact would go into effect only after enough states have joined to reach 270 electoral votes, thus giving the compact control over the outcome of the presidential election. The Examiner reported that the states that signed on to the compact comprise 196 of the Electoral College votes. Let me just go through this list of states. Maybe you'll find a common denominator between them. California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, Washington. Do any of those have a governor other in legislature other than Democrat? Okay, let's go on to Jihad Watch. Muslims killed a pastor in northern Uganda on Saturday, October 31st, after he compared Christianity and Islam in a radio broadcast, sources said. David Omara, 64-year-old pastor of Christian Church Center and a well-known radio preacher in the area, was beaten and strangled after finishing his broadcast, according to his son. As they beat him, one of the assailants said this man ought to die for using the Quran and saying Allah is not God, but an evil God collaborating with satanic powers. As they were hitting my father with blunt objects and strangling him, I fled to save my life. Two attackers ran after me but could not get a hold of me. My mother wept, fainted, collapsed with deep groaning, and is admitted in the hospital. The killing was the latest of many instances of persecution of Christians in Uganda. Let's go to another story on Jihad Watch in the UK. Stabbing, another stabbing taking place, this time in a mosque. It was blamed on Islamophobia, but guess what? It was committed by a Muslim who had wanted to go to prison in order to be able to memorize the Quran. You see, prison is many times a breeding ground for Islam. And it was not a so-called Islamophobe. The stabbing inside the mosque was committed by another Muslim. Jihad Watch also reporting, Muslim voters want more than just a seat at the table from President-elect Joe Biden. The Muslim community would like to see the Biden administration change refugee limits to allow more people into the country after the U.S. reached a historic low under Trump, says the executive director of CARES Greater Los Angeles office. Joe Biden, this is CNS News, has promised that as president, he will reverse the regulation put in place by the Trump administration that allowed the Department of Homeland Security to deny entry visas on permanent resident status to immigrants who would be public charges, meaning that they would qualify for and take government benefits such as food stamps and Medicaid. On his campaign website, Biden has a page titled The Biden Plan for Securing Our Values as a Nation of Immigrants. In the first 100 days, says the page, a Biden administration will reverse Trump's public charge rule, which runs counter to our values as Americans and the history of our nation, allowing immigration officials to make an individual's ability to receive a visa or gain permanent residency contingent on their use of government services like SNAP benefits or Medicaid, their household income, and other discriminatory criteria undermines America's character as a land of opportunity that is open and welcoming to all, not just the wealthy. I tell you, there are many people lining up at the door. So you've got Islamic demands. We shared yesterday or the other day with Peter LaBarbera the demands that are coming from Human Rights Campaign knocking at the door. And now, here from CNSNews.com, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, joined with a group of like-minded leftists on Thursday, yesterday, to make it clear that they will hold the Biden administration to its promise of a Green New Deal. She rallied her fellow progressives, telling them, quote, we're winning, it's working, it's happening, and we're going to secure a future. We're going to secure the basic tenets of a Green New Deal, a multi-trillion jobs program for climate, for environmental, racial, gender, and class justice. Folks, I've shared a lot of stories, a lot of topics today, but I'd like to open some phone lines to give you opportunity to weigh in on these or other current event stories. We'll have you make your comment brief, keep it at a minute or less so we can get many voices on. Our number to crosstalk today, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. MailChimp, a lot of people use MailChimp. Well, they are now blacklisting conservative groups. Censorship efforts by tech firms appear to have ramped up during the 2020 presidential election season. Twitter started putting labels on some 300,000 user posts from October 27th to November 11th for violating rules related to election misinformation, as they interpret it. Breitbart News recently reported that the free speech social media platform Gab has enjoyed a major boost in traffic this year, but Breitbart reporting MailChimp blacklisting conservative groups. Austria has put in a new hate speech law as well. They presented a draft. I should say it's a draft at this point, but a draft online hate speech law that the Communication Platforms Act, that if passed, would limit free speech in the country. The Australian government writes the introduction of this proposed law that the main reason for the development of this draft act is the worrying development that the internet and social media, in addition to the advantages that these new technologies and communication channels provide, have also established a new form of violence and hate on the internet is increasing the form of insults, humiliation, false information, even threats of violence and death. The attacks are predominantly based on racist, xenophobic, misogyny, and also, sorry about that, and homophobic motives. The proposed law, modeled on Germany's much-criticized NetzDG law, known as the censorship law, indeed. And very troubling indeed. Only a uniform European regulation can become a successful standard and assert itself worldwide. Our telephone number to crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Let's go to Wayland in Boise, Idaho. Hi, Wayland. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. And on some of the stuff you were talking about, the shenanigans that were being played in the election and stuff, a while back, I got a YouTube thing, and it was with a General Tom, and I don't know how you say it,
McElhinney. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen that? It would be worth looking at, and even if you could get him as a guest.
Yeah, dealing with the hammer. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Yep.
The one about the guy, maybe it was, but the one guy that had 40-some hard drives in his home when they went and raided it.
Yeah, I have not seen that particular article that you're referring to there, but yes, General McElhinney has been quoted here, and our previous program before this one, Worldview Weekend, has featured him several times as guest.
Okay, all right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the call.
More pleasure.
Thanks.
Bye.
Let's go to Mark next in Washington. You're on the air, Mark.
Yes, good news about cancer. Have you heard of Joe Tippins?
I'm not familiar with Joe Tippins.
Okay. He is a man that had cancer. It went through his whole body, metastasized everything through different contacts. You can look it up on the Internet. He used a dog dewormer, and it cured his cancer issues, and it's gone through many other people that have had similar-like success stories.
Hmm.
So it's a wonderful thing in my mind. I hope a lot of people make use of it.
Well, I think you better look into it before just starting to take some kind of deworming thing. Thank you, Mark, for your call. Pat in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. Do we have any national statistics on the dropout rate for high school students due to the online learning? I was just curious about that. I'm really concerned that what's happening with our students.
Yeah, I am concerned, too. I've not done a search for that myself. I don't know if numbers are available as of yet regarding the dropout rate, but we do know that there's been a mass exodus from the public education system taking place, but heard from many and seen many articles about people just falling off from educational interest that they just cannot handle the virtual teaching that's going on in many a setting.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks for calling. Our number here, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Ann is calling from Sherwood, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to have a comment. I just had a comment about, you were briefly mentioned that in prisons that people are indoctrinated or recruited into the Islam religion. Well, that's so true because my son, who spent quite a bit of time all the way from his youth to a few years ago, would be in and out of the prison, Wisconsin prison system, and every time he would go in, they would be, you know, after him with wanting him to throw his Bible away and read the Quran, and then I'd have to get him back on track when he came back out again with the Bible, and then he'd go back in and it would happen again. So it definitely is true about that part of what you said. They try to get people, young people in the prisons, to sway over to Islam. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, and it really, really is a serious problem. So God bless you all, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Ann, for your call here today. And we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back with more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk at 800-733-9829. Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. A couple days ago, I had the honor of interviewing Brazilian journalist Alan dos Santos. Alan is a conservative fighting communism in Brazil, but he spoke too much truth, and so he had to flee Brazil and come to America. He's now warning Americans that what he has seen take place in Brazil is being set up here in America. That includes shadow banning conservatives and their truth reports, blacklisting them. Oh, and guess what? He was accused of fake news. Not only were there physical threats against him that caused him to flee Brazil, but they're working on legislation in Brazil to make reporting fake news a crime. You could maybe go to jail for it. Oh, and by fake news, they mean speaking the truth. So here he is in America, having fled Brazil, warning Americans that it can and is starting to happen here.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. By the way, those of you in Lubbock, Texas area, yeah, from lifenews.com, a Texas city where a new Planned Parenthood just opened has rejected an ordinance Tuesday this week that would ban abortions within city limits. Despite strong public support for the Sanctuary for the Unborn ordinance, the Lubbock City Council voted against it. The vote was 0-7. The ordinance recognized that unborn babies are valuable human beings who deserve to be protected under the law. It prohibits abortions within city limits and prevents abortion businesses from opening there. The ordinance also penalizes abortionists for aborting unborn babies, but it does not penalize women who seek to have abortions. So far, 16 Texas cities have adopted the Sanctuary for the Unborn ordinances, but in Lubbock, Mayor Dan Pope and the city council members did not want to consider the ordinance. Mark Lee Dixon, director of Right to Life of East Texas, stated that the City Council of Lubbock has spoken. Unborn children can be murdered in Lubbock, Texas, he wrote on Facebook after the meeting. However, do not think for a moment that this is over. Let's go back to the phone lines, and let's see. We've got Gary calling in from Mesa. Hi, Gary. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, thank you for taking my call. I was just reading Revelation chapter 13, verse 15, where anyone who doesn't take the mark of the beast will be killed. It says that plainly, and it looks like this is all a prelude to martyrdom, because this same mentality that we're seeing unwind now has cost the lives of thousands, probably millions around the world already, for taking up the Christian cause or converting to Christianity from Mohammedanism and all the rest of this nonsense that goes on. So I'm pretty darn scared. I'm concerned. We need the Word of God to protect us. That's about our only hope. So I see it right now. Thank you.
We do. We do need that. And I'm of the belief that believers in Christ will be removed prior to that time. But thank you for your thoughts on the issue. But indeed, that is going to come to pass. Greg in Tucson, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. You were talking about, among other things, the malicious LGBTQ assault on our freedoms. And I'm a former school teacher, and I can tell you I could write a book about what's been done to damage the kids. I have to say this, and I say it with a very heavy heart. Trump has been no friend of the Christian regarding this agenda. If you look at his appointments. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. And I've seen a couple of his appointments I would strongly disagree with. But keep in mind, it is Mr. Trump who stopped the Biden or the Obama directive in the schools that demanded that boys who identify as girls should have access to the locker rooms, showers, girls' sports teams, etc. And it was the Trump administration that put a stop to that, as he did the transgender matter in the military.
All right, 1 point for Donald Trump. How about 3 points against the man he appointed as his first Secretary of State, voted to homosexualize the Boy Scouts? Scott Brown, the one he appointed to ambassador to New Zealand when he was a U.S. Senator, voted to homosexualize the military. Rick Grenell, his former ambassador, who's now on the LGBT rights on the Republican National Committee. Trump has done nothing about that. He has not been a friend of the truth in this issue.
I agree, Greg, with you on those three appointments. The appointments ran into far more under the previous administration. They would run far more into the Biden administration. I'm not condoning. I'm not citing. I disagree with President Trump on those appointments.
And
I'm going to say here as well that you're going to find President Trump has been in opposition to the so-called Equality Act, is not advanced at all, that is promised within the first 100 days under the Biden administration.
He's tolerant of gay marriage. It's destroying the country.
I agree. Thank you, Greg. Let's go next to, holding the longest, Dan in Pensacola. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, on the election, there was an interview with Eric Bollinger from the Sinclair News Media Group with a representative named Ceramucci. He's a Republican, but there's a large block of Republicans who oppose President Trump's election, and they're putting pressure on anyone who supports him, and that's why you don't see a lot of support from our representatives for President Trump in this election. Millions of people have voted for him, and yet our, the elected officials who we sent to represent us aren't representing us. They're representing their own personal cause and what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They're concerned about their own political careers and getting reelected and not for the interest of our country.
Yeah. Thank
we
you,
need
man.
To get a hold of our representatives and make sure that we hold their feet to the fire, and they're actually representing us and not their own personal interest.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate your
Thank
call.
You.
Melvin in Maryland, you're on the air.
Yes. That guy that commented about Joe Tippins, I know about him also, and I know two people personally that have taken the dog dewormer, and they have had great results. You can look it up at mycancerstoryrocks.com.
Yeah, and I'm not promoting cancer cures or whatever here today. I'm you better talk to your medical doctor and talk about these things. I'm not suggesting anybody start taking a deworming medication by any means. But I would like to the story I shared today is that millions were given for the Biden research aspect in the matter of cancer, and that the vast majority of that has gone to salaries. Thank you for your call. And finally, in Marshall, North Carolina, Amy is calling. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to offer some encouragement. The day that the media falsely proclaimed Biden as a winner, I just had the most comforting thought, and it was that, you know, when Jesus was crucified, the enemy must have thought he won, too. But 3 days later, God finished the story. And that has just been so comforting to me throughout this, to just kind of zoom out and see that we're in the middle of the story right now. And I'm so excited to battle in prayer during this and then see the way our Abba Father comes through.
Amen.
Thank you for your program.
Thank you, Amy. Appreciate your call and a very fit conclusion to our program today here on our News Roundup Day. Thank you for your calls, participation, and indeed, folks, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. So critical in times like this, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Thank you for joining us here today, all this week on Crosstalk. The Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening and joining us this week.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.